Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 296, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Springs and streams no longer bless all the dry and thirsty land, fertile fields in verdant dress, God converts to desert sand. For that they who dwell therein turn to wickedness and sin. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 296.
Thank you. wish to read from God's holy and precious word out of the book of Isaiah, thereof chapter 32. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease, hear my voice, ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease, be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be accounted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass.
And ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, thou who dwellest between the cherubims, and thou who receivest all the glory and all the honor in the world which is above, where the spirits they may be with thee, and where the crowns may yet be cast before thee. O that thou who dwellest on high and may also this day humble thyself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth, as thou didst so long ago on that day of Pentecost, when thou didst ascend from heaven by the word of thy command and of thy power, thy Holy Spirit to plant thy church in that new dispensation, in that new time, when thou didst begin a work which would be as a mustard seed, when it would begin so very, very small, and would grow to something that would extend itself over the length and breadth of the whole world, so that we and our children may also be gathered under the boughs of that tree in this afternoon hour, and we may acknowledge thee, that thy long-suffering and thy graciousness that is extended over each and every one of us, when so many have to miss it in this world, and when there is nothing that makes us and our children to differ, for we are all conceived and born in sin. But then it is thy sovereign good pleasure alone, where thou dost make a difference where there is no difference. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou couldest do in our midst in this day and in the future what thou hast done upon that day, for thou dost say, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we have read it out of thy holy word, and then it was also prophesied so long ago, what thou wouldest do in the future, and then thy covenant that is so sure unto thy church who cannot bring it to pass. But thou sayest, my plighted word I will not break, and nor change the promise that I spake. Or then it is, despite all the iniquity and all the sin of that people, the unworthiness whereby that they make themselves guilty and worthy to be cast away and forgotten by thee. Oh, that thou mayest seek us out, O Lord, for it belongeth unto thee only to draw us, that we might run after thee, indeed even to raise us from the dead, that there may be a new life, a life that is under that conviction that we may read that took place in that day, when thy law did go forth, that they had crucified and slain him whom thou didst send. Oh, that that word also may be brought with power in the heart of young and old, that there may be the conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that we may be convinced in the bottom of our heart that we are the man. Oh, that there may also be room for thee to open unto us that promise that shall never be broken, that which is established of old upon a foundation that is so firm and sure. Oh, that that may give that joy in believing in the life of thy own dear children, and that they may be given to see it a little. Also in this afternoon hour, when by renewal they have sinned everything away, so that there are so often those fears that lived in the hearts of thy disciples, though thou wast with them upon the earth, thou didst come and go, and times that they cried out in the storm, that they would yet perish. Lord, thou knowest all thy people, all that they have experienced. Thou knowest all that thou hast given unto them. And thou knowest how unworthy that they are. But thou knowest also what thou hast done. Oh, that thou may deliver the poor and hear the needy when he cries. And that thou would save his soul when death draws nigh. Do then remember those that must go out to bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. In this day and upon the mission fields, O gather thou thy church amongst all the nations of the world. When it did begin in that day, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, O Lord, that thou may give, that from every race and color, from every age and from every nation, they may be gathered around thy word, and that thy dear Son may make himself known, or that thou may help those that bring that word to increase their number, or we may acknowledge thee that thou hast given another man in our own school that he may begin the studies. Help them all together. And could it please thee to remember him that must go to a congregation to be united to a congregation, to have an established place in the midst of a congregation in this world, or that thou may give him direction, that thou may keep him from following the light of his own fire. For we are ever deceivers of ourselves. But wilt thou give him a place? And may he be given just to follow thee, and that thou may make it well and make it clear. And could it please thee to remember all those that do bring thy word, increase their numbers, and wilt thou establish thy church in the midst of our denomination and in other places in this world? Remember our children, our youth. As Satan is busy, his devices are many. They are lethal. They are deadly. O Lord, deliver them. Watch over and keep them. And could it please thee to show to them that one thing that is necessary in the days of their youth, that it may be bound upon their young hearts, and that they may receive a fence and a wall about them, as thou didst unto Job. O Lord, that thou may remember all those that are afflicted, those that have been in the hospital, also others that have serious diseases, those that receive treatments, and others where there is concern. O Lord, we ask of thee, that thou may show thyself as the great physician, and that thou may give a place also at thy footstool. Visit them in the needs of each day, and that there may be profit out of thy word of truth for them. Do look upon all those that rule and reign over us. Bring us again to thy word and to thy testimonies. And wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon hour, or that thou thyself may dwell among us, that we may feel in speaking and in listening as something of that power that was experienced long ago, that it might be for the profit of this our flock, and that it may be for our profit also, and that it may be for the humbling of our proud hearts, and that it may be for the instruction of our ignorance, and for the leading in thy ways, thy precious ways. Do forgive all our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 49 all the stanzas. At the ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship Him as God alone. All the stanzas of Psalter 49, and the last collection today is for the North American General Mission. beloved congregation, when there is a change in our rulers, when we have a new ruler, a new governor, a new premier, then there is a change in government. Then there is a change many times in the laws of the land. They are not all necessarily very dramatic changes because they are not men in our days that are governing all by themselves. But there are others that govern with them. That is different when there is a king, a sovereign, and he governs all by himself. And then it is that sometimes there are just sweeping changes of the laws of that land. You can see that in the Bible also, but the greatest changes, they are coming when those kings, they are governed by different spirits. When one is governed by the spirit that is from above, and another is governed by the spirit that is from below. Thus, great changes in government. When Hezekiah has come to the throne after Ahaz, and once again when that government has fallen into the hands of a Manasseh, how great are the changes that are coming by the power of the Holy Spirit that is within a nation, but that is also within the life of a man. What a difference between the presence of the Spirit of the Lord and the absence of the Spirit of the Lord. We would say, boys and girls, that is like the difference between day and night, or between summer and winter, or even between death and life. We want to see, consider something of that with you this afternoon from the words of our text, which can be found in the portion that was read to you, Isaiah chapter 32, and thereof the 15th verse, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be counted for a forest. So far in the words of our text. The effect of the Spirit poured out from on high. First, we want to consider the natural meaning of these words. Second, the historical meaning of these words, and finally, the spiritual meaning of these words. The effect of the Spirit poured out from on high, first the natural, second the historical, and third the spiritual meaning of these words. So many of the things that the Lord has expressed to us in His Word, He has done by way of similitude, by way, boys and girls, of parables. The Lord Jesus spoke them when He was here upon the earth. But we also find parables, many parables that were spoken by the prophets of the Old Testament, expressing both historical things and spiritual things. And here the prophet Isaiah, he speaks about a wilderness. What is a wilderness? That is a place, you say, that is uninhabited. There are no humans that are dwelling there in the wilderness. In the wilderness, then that you say that is an unchartered territory. That is an uninhabited territory. and many times a wilderness that is actually a desert, so that is very dry, a place where there is so very little rain, where the earth that is so very, very hard, or it is so very sandy, the temperatures, they are very different, very, very cold at night, and very, very hot during the day. And because of all of these conditions in that wilderness, then it is also a place which is barren. A place where no plants can grow, and a place where there is no sustenance for human life. Our text, and that speaks about a wilderness. And that speaks about a wilderness, it says, becoming a fruitful field. Thus it speaks about a great change. Wilderness and a fruitful field are things which are contrary to one another. They are the opposites of one another. And then he says that this wilderness where nothing was growing, that shall become a fruitful field where so many things will grow, where man will be able to be sustained. Thus, a great change. That is a wonder. Who can do that? You say, maybe we can do that, right, young people? You know how to do that, because you say we do that here. This is actually also semi-desert place. And what do? We dig a hole and we let the rain come there in that reservoir, and we make canals and we set up our irrigation system. And pretty soon that we see that that dry land, that hard earth, well, that is now able to bring forth food. That is true. And yet, when you would stop to irrigate it, and when you would no more fertilize it, then what would happen? And you say, pretty soon, then it is going to go right back to where it was before. Why? Because with all your labors, you haven't changed anything inherently in that land, in that climate. You have not made it into a fruitful land. It is only being forced to produce by your own work. And thus your own work stops. And then we find out that that land is actually in and of itself. It is yet a desert land. It is yet a barren land. Who only can change that? You say the Lord only can change that. Because the Lord, He has at His call the very rain from the heavens. And if the Lord, He would change the climate in that place, and that amount of sun would be now just right in His providence, and the amount of moisture to be just right in His providence, and the temperatures just right in His providence. And if the Lord, He will look upon that land and guide it each and every day, and then it is possible, and then alone it is possible, that there is an inherent change in this land. How does He do this? We read here our text that speaks about the Spirit being poured upon us from on high. What does that word mean, to pour? To pour, actually the original word that means to be bare. Just like you can see children on the bottom of a bucket. If the bucket had water in it, and you want to see on the bottom of the bucket, then you have to pour all the water out. That is what that word means. Until the Spirit being poured upon us from on high. That speaks then about being emptied out. And thus it is speaking about the rain, it is speaking about the clouds heavy with rain that are bursting so that that it is made bare, as it were, so there is none left, so that the skies, they are completely emptied of their water. Thus it is speaking about a great abundance that the Lord is giving. And then that gift that is going to make that ground to be soft. It is going to begin to dissolve the minerals that are in the earth to make this a fruitful land. And when the Lord is going to change the climate of a place, then the Lord, He is able to change such a wilderness into a fruitful place. That is the way that the Lord has spoken about the land of Canaan. Because the Lord said by the mouth of Moses to the children of Israel that that land to which you are going, that land of Canaan, that is not the same as that land from which you have come out. He says, where thou didst sow thy seed and thou waterest it with thy foot, and that it was like a garden of herbs. That is what you do for your little garden behind your house, he says. But this land of Canaan, that is a land of hills and of valleys. That is a land that is drinking in the water of the rain from heaven. It is a land that the eyes of the Lord, they are upon that land every day. And the Lord, He is caring for it, even from the beginning of the year unto the end of the year, the land of Canaan, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high and the wilderness be a fruitful field. And then the text continues and it says, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. So what is a forest? Well, you say that it's also a place that is not fit to grow your food. If there is a forest, then you first have to cut down, boys and girls, you have to cut down all of those trees first in order to grow your field. You cannot do that in a forest. That is not a fit place to grow anything. It is a woodland, and there are dense shrubs, and there are broken pieces of wood, and fallen trees, and logs, and then you cannot grow anything. So, a wilderness, a fruitful field, and a forest. That is the natural meaning. We go to our second thought. That is the historical meaning. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Thus he is speaking, Isaiah, about the future. He is prophesying about the future. And he is speaking about changes which are very, very great changes. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field. That is a great change. And that is a great change if that fruitful field that is becoming a forest. And he says that things are going to be reversed. Things are going to be turned right around. Wilderness, a fruitful field, and the fruitful field becoming a forest. And what is now going to be the cause of this? He says that is going to be the Spirit poured out from on high. When the Spirit is coming in a great abundance, just as the clouds in the heavens are bursting and letting out all of their rain. Thus he speaks about the time of Pentecost. And he speaks about the time actually that is coming after Pentecost. He is speaking about that dispensation of time in the world that Pentecost has ushered in. The Bible that speaks about that time as the last days. The last dispensation that is going to be in this world before the final dispensation, when the Lord Jesus is coming to judge the quick and the dead. Thus he speaks about that time between Pentecost and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pentecost, he says, that is going to make a great change in this world. Then he says, the wilderness, that is going to become a fruitful field. What is that wilderness? Well, that wilderness that was nearly the entire world. Because there was such a very small part of the entire world to whom that the Lord, he had revealed himself. There was only that Jewish nation that was his own people. And the rest of the entire world, that is nothing, he says, but briars and thorns. That is a people that lay in wickedness, in infidelity, impiety. That is a people, nations who are sunken in the worship of idols, idolatry, superstition. The whole world. They are being ruled by the prince of this world. And they are willing subjects of Satan himself, a wilderness. That world did not serve the Lord. That world did not love the Lord. They did not look after him. They did not know the Lord. And now he says that wilderness is going to become a fruitful field by the pouring out of the Spirit of the Lord from on high. A fruitful field in that wilderness, made out of that wilderness, that it may bring forth fruit. That, as we may reverently speaking say, that the Lord, he may enjoy the fruit of his own vineyard, even that entire world that is going to be made into this fruitful field. Because by the preaching of the gospel, then there are going to be multitudes and multitudes of people in that time who are converted. There are going to be churches that are established in the far corners of the world. Then there are going to be those of every race, of every color, of every nation that are going to be brought in unto the kingdom of God, and they are going to have that same faith, they are going to have that same truth within their heart, even as Abraham, as Isaac, and as Jacob. Fruits. Fruits of that true conversion, they are going to be evident. There's going to be judgment, he speaks about. There is going to be righteousness. There's going to be peace. He says, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Then on the other hand, he says that that fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. What was that fruitful field? That fruitful field was the Lord's own people. That fruitful field was Jerusalem itself. That fruitful field was the city of David. That fruitful field was Zion, whom the Lord had chosen and set apart for himself. There the Lord had favored that people. The Lord had planted his own church. And he had made that people into a fruitful field. That is a people that God had established to be his own. He gave them his own law. He distinguished them from every other nation in the whole world to say, thou art my people. And now it is this fruitful field that he says is going to become unfruitful again. It is going to be counted for a forest. It is going to be, as it were, overgrown with weeds and with trees and with dense shrubbery. Not that altogether the truth will disappear. Not that altogether that my people will be destroyed, but that you shall not be able to see because of the density of the thickness of that forest. You will not be able to see that here and there, there is still something in that forest that the Lord, He is preserving. That's what does Isaiah say? Isaiah speaks about that Spirit of the Lord, that it is going to move onward. He says that there are going to come changes, very great changes. And in those places, in those nations that were not called by the name of the Lord, in those nations which have not known Him, which have not served Him, then He is going to work. He is going to, by the power of His own Spirit, convince, convict of sin. He is going to bring them to the knowledge of Himself. He is going to draw them by His Spirit. He is going to make known the name of God through His only begotten Son. And to those places where He has long stretched out His arm, to those places where He has called, that He has favored them with His goodness, with His blessing, to those places who had received the word, the truth of the Lord, and who had rejected Him, He is going to remove Himself. He is going to just leave them over to themselves. He is going to leave them to the hardening of the heart. He is going to allow the weeds to grow. He is going to allow the shrubbery, the dense forest to grow, that it will overtake everything again in that same place that was before such a fruitful field. So now it is going to look just like a forest. Thus we have the historical meaning of these words. In our last thought, we like to say something about the spiritual meaning. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. There is no change that is so great in the life of a man than the change of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord, He is giving His Spirit, when the Lord, He is pouring out His Spirit in the life of a person, there is no change as great as this change. By nature, we are without that Spirit. And because we are without that Spirit, there is also, as we read here, no fruit. There is not a single fruit that is unto God. You say, we come to church. That is good. Say, we pray. That is good. Say, we sing. That is good. Say, we give to the poor. That is good. And yet, the Lord says, it is a wilderness. Do you ever feel it? A wilderness. It is but thorns. It is but thistles. Because within the life, in the heart of the people, then there is nothing for me. They go there to satisfy their conscience because my law is there, and I tell them, they have to appear before me as the judge on that great day. They are afraid. They come there to the church of God, but they do not love me. They go in the weekday over every day in this world. There is not a single thought of me. They can leave me well enough in their place. They go, yes, on their knees, but it is but form and custom. What is it? What have I on the people? There is no fruit. There is nothing for me to receive, to enjoy out of that people. Do you ever feel it? The Gentiles, they did not learn their barrenness until that Spirit of the Lord was poured out. And that is the same with us. The first thing we need to learn in our life is our barrenness. That it is but a wilderness in my life that is despite all the outward religion that I may have. But now there is a Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord says that He will make out of that wilderness, He will make a fruitful field. And when the Lord is now doing that, then there are going to be fruits. Fruits that are coming out of that field. What are some of those fruits? Well, one of the first fruits is going to be knowledge. It is going to be knowledge by faith. They are going to believe that I exist because I am going to give them an impression of my existence. That it is not going to be but a mere doctrine for that people anymore. But they are going to go over this world and they are going to feel that there is a God. That they are not able to escape me. Whether they go to their labors, whether they go to their home, whether they go to school, when it is a child and he is going to go to a secret place, that I am going to make them feel, even as the psalmist has expressed it, that if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, lo, thou art there. Well, then that Spirit of the Lord, He is going to make them feel the existence of the Lord. He is going to make them to feel something of the justice. He is going to make them feel something of the holiness of the Lord. He is going to make them to go bow down over this world under a burden. He is going to give the knowledge of God. He is going to give the knowledge of themselves, who that they are, over against Him. That was evident on the day of Pentecost. What will that Spirit do? That Spirit is going to prick the heart of that man. As we can read that the hearts of these 3,000 persons, they were pricked by that Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord, He is going by His Spirit to make that people to begin to cry out. He is going to hear that from heaven, His dwelling place. The angels of God, they are going to rejoice at the work of that Spirit. When one sinner does cry out after God, oh, then there is going to be some fruit. Then there is going to be some satisfaction in heaven. When the Lord, He is going to observe what is now coming of all that He has decreed from the beginning of beginning. There was no beginning. What He has decreed even from eternity. What He has done in the time. What He has sent His Son to do. And when He has received Him up at His right hand, and now the Lord, He is going to begin to see the fruits of all of the labors of His own hands. When He will begin to plant a church, as He has planted that church 50 days after the Passover in the wilderness and given to them His law and made them a nation, And so now also 50 days later, the Lord, He is going to establish that New Testament church. He's going to begin that church. And they are going to begin to pray. That is going to be said of every one of the people, as it was said also of Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. The fruits, concern. A concern living in the heart of the people. They say, what shall we do? Because my life, my heart, that is a wilderness, an upright concern, that they may see and understand that there is something so much higher than all that can be found in this world. A burden that is placed on that people. Fruits, love. Love for the Lord. Oh, the mind, the thoughts, the heart, going out again after it has never gone out after him before. Not in all the life of that people. Despite all the religion, maybe they are 50, 70, 100 years old, going back and forth to church, coming and going from the place of the holy, and yet steeped in all this world. And now, by that Spirit of the Lord, then the love born. Love born in the heart of that people. So that heart is going after something. Out after the God of the heavens and of the earth in a missing. Cannot find it in the midst of all of this world. Without God in the world. And a desire to come back again. All thoughts of the Father. Even as the prodigal. When he is laying there in his wretchedness. And in his misery. Until the Spirit be poured out from on high, and the wilderness, where there was nothing seen in the life of that people before, and the wilderness be made into a fruitful field. Let us sing. 110, 1 and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. And what follows in 1 and 3 of Psalter 110. Thank you. congregation, we read in the Bible about a publican who smote upon his breast and he said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. What would you say? Would you call that fruitfulness? Or would you call that barrenness? You would say, I am sure that is now fruitfulness. Oh, I think there are some that would say, could I have that also in truth? Because that is now fruitfulness. That is right. But if you would ask that man that question, what would he say? Then he would not call that fruitfulness. No, he would say that there is no one more barren, there is no wilderness greater in the whole world than that barrenness and that wilderness that is living in my own heart and life. That is now the paradox, because the Lord, He is working there. He is digging about that tree. He is dunging it. He is pruning it so that it may bring forth fruit. What is the consequence of missing in the life of a person? Consequence of missing, that is seeking. Because when we miss something, then we are seeking it. That is what we can read. That has happened on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, they began to miss. Then they began to seek. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then they desire to make it right again. Did you ever desire to make it right again? And they do not know what to do. And they are asking what to do, but they will leave nothing to be undone. Why? That they may receive that favor again. Do we also know that life? That is not a lazy people. No, that is a busy people. That is a working people. Our fathers, they spoke about the workhouse. Do you know what that is, boys and girls? The workhouse? You ask your mother and your father when you come home. That is a good thing to talk about when you are eating tonight. Say, what is father and mother? What does that mean when the Lord brings His people into the workhouse? You say, what are that people doing? Well, that people are seeking. You say, what are that people seeking? They are seeking the Lord. They are seeking the favor of the Lord. Do you think they can live in sin then? No, they cannot. Not when they know it to be sin. Because they say, well, that is bringing that disfavor of the Lord unto me. And with all they're doing, what do they learn? Or they have to learn that they cannot bring forth any of that fruit. They have to learn how barren that it is. They have to learn what a wilderness that it is in my own heart, that there is no fruit that is coming off of this tree. And yet, oh, that is the paradox of the Lord, of the work of the Lord, of the work of the Spirit of the Lord, who is coming, who is going, where He listeth. You hear the sound of the wind. You cannot tell whence it cometh. You cannot tell whither it goeth. It is a mysterious thing. And so that is also in the leadings of that Spirit in the life of His people, because that is now just that fruitful field that Isaiah, he is speaking about, that is now so hidden unto that people. But it is now what the Lord Himself is delighting in, to lead that people in a way as the blind, by a way that they do not know. What is the consequence of seeking? We said, what is the consequence of missing that is seeking? What is the consequence of seeking? That is finding. Isn't it, boys and girls? If you lose your toy children, and then your mother says you must look for it, it is in the house. It's not gone. It's here somewhere. She assures you of that. Say, if you look for it, you will find it. And now what does the Lord say in His word? Oh, He says, if you look for me, I am not gone. Oh, I am there. I am to be found. And if you search for me, just as you search for hid treasure in this world, He says, you shall find me. That is now the promise of the Lord. As the consequence of seeking, that there will be a finding. You say, how long will that take? Can I tell you that? How long does that take you to find your toy, boys and girls? You say, well, it was right there. But most of the time, if you cannot see it, it is hidden somewhere. And that is where what we read in the Word of God, that is as a treasure. And that treasure is hidden. So most of the time, that is not found immediately. Do not give up. Do not give up. Why not? Because the Lord connects a promise to that seeking. That when you will seek for me with all your heart, then you shall find. Yet on Pentecost, there was not much time. There was not so much time between the conviction of sin in the life of these people and the revelation of the Son of God. That was a very special time. It was a very special work of that Spirit of the Lord. And so we read of the fruits. We've spoken of some of them, and then we read about the joy. Because we read about gladness. We read that they gladly received His word. What was that word? That was a word concerning the Son of God. And when the Lord, He is revealing that in the life of His people. Do you believe it, young people? Do you believe in the bottom of your heart that there is joy in the life of God's people? Say, I do not see it. Oh, that is our shame, that it is not spoken of sufficiently. But do you believe that there is joy in the life of that people? No, it is not the same as when you say, I want to go have a good time here in this world. Those people say, I want nothing to do with it. You go. But when they may now be in their own secret chamber, when they may now be in the house of the Lord, and when that Spirit of the Lord is coming to open something of that holy word, when they may be on their knees, and when the Lord may show them as a wretched, as a miserable, as an unworthy creature, and now when the Lord may open just a little of the mystery of salvation that is contained in His blessed, in His only begotten, in His beloved Son, oh, that Spirit of the Lord. What do you think happens in the heart of that people? Do you think you can enjoy this world the same as the heart of that people is leaping for joy at the revelations of the Spirit out of the Holy Word of God? And there may be just a little bit of that blessed communion with the Lord Himself, that the Lord He is eating. The Lord Himself He is eating of the fruits of that field that He is laboring in. And it is now the delight of the Lord then to speak and to commune with His own church. And the wilderness be a fruitful field. Oh, congregation, did you ever feel something? Did you ever feel in your heart what a wilderness that is there? That is now the very first thing that a person is learning by that Spirit of the Lord. Oh, do you desire that it should become a fruitful field? Say it is not possible. That is a wonder. It is a wonder. It is a wonder. But it is possible because the Lord, He is working a wonder. And the Lord, He is the same to work that wonder as He has ever done it. You say, I read it in the books. Good. Read them more. And let a cry go out of your heart. You desire it to be a fruitful field? That people, they try to make it a fruitful field. Did you ever try to make it a fruitful field? You know what? You know what you find? You find you cannot do it. You can irrigate it a little while. You can make it appear like a fruitful field, maybe to other people a little while, with a profession. But you cannot change your evil heart. You cannot make it different than it is. And as soon as you stop your laboring, then you say it all goes back again, right to what it was before. That is now a hard lesson. But we now have to die. We now have to experience that all our righteousnesses, they are now as filthy rags. But now when the Lord, He is working through, when the Lord, He is now coming, then the people is going to learn that from Me is thy fruit found. No fruit from this tree, henceforth forever. No, it cannot come from our sight. But everything, oh, when the Lord comes by His Spirit, is it not so, people of the Lord? Then the Lord, He is bringing everything along in the life of the people. You have to bring nothing. The Lord, He is supplying everything, food and drink. He is giving rest and peace in the life of that people. And the wilderness be a fruitful field. But now there is another side. That is an awful sight. And that is now a solemn warning. And the fruitful field be counted for a forest. You say, what is that? God's people cannot fall away, can they? No. No. No, they cannot fall away. He says, my covenant I will not break. I will not alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. That is a covenant that is standing so sure. That is the hope, that is the comfort, that is the rest, that is the peace of that true church of God. That I can go so wrong, and I can fall, and yet that people, they cannot fall away. And yet, oh, that field, that can become so unfruitful. It can be just like it has become an overgrown forest again, even in the life of God's own people. A church that was once a fruitful field, faith, a life when they were so close to the Lord. Let God's children say it once, how it was in the beginning, and how true the Word of God, and how many times that has not come to convict them out of the Word of God. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What did the Lord Jesus say to Sardis? He said, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, because I have not found thy works perfect before God. Once so zealous, once so tender, once so careful, and now so lazy, and now so slothful that you say, where can I find it? That you say, it's all gone. It's all gone. You say that, people of the Lord. You say, I am not a people of the Lord. No, there is a wonder here. There is a blessed wonder here in the Word of God. You know what it says? It says the word counted. And the fruitful field be counted for a forest. What does the word counted mean? It means to think. It means to esteem something, to judge something, to imagine something to be as. So it doesn't say that that fruitful field is, has become a forest. But he says that fruitful field that shall seem to be, will be accounted to be, it will look like it is forest. It will look like there's nothing growing there anymore. So it will be with that Jewish nation. No, the Lord, he has not cast away his people. The Lord, he is able to graft them in again. So that is also with his people in the midst of this world. Counted as a forest. Oh, not rejected altogether. Even though that people, when they are looking and searching, they say, now where is the fruit in my life? After all the things that I am not able to deny. Oh, it is a solemn warning to the people of the Lord. But it is also such a comfort to the people of the Lord. Because he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. And that is now a church that can never, never fall away. Is that not a blessed people, young people? Is that not a blessed people? Does not lie in their hands. It lies in the hands of the Lord himself. But it is also a warning for a congregation. It is also a warning for a denomination. Because what does the Lord now say? He says that my spirit, and that is now going from place to place. So that the Lord is moving, as it were, from time to time, from one place to another place. So you see, the time of the Bible, the churches of Asia Minor, and how that the Spirit of the Lord that was working there, now we do not know what is left. If there is yet a remnant here and there in that place, but, oh, where shall we find it anymore? And when you will go back in the history of the churches, you will go to Germany, you will go to France, you will go to England, you will go to Scotland. Then you say that Spirit of the Lord, how that it was busy in that time of the Reformation. And now where can it be found anymore? Oh, when we go back to our own fathers and our grandparents, and we say, the Spirit of the Lord that was there, that was working, and now, is it working anymore? You say, that is pessimistic. Oh, young people, we do not have to be pessimistic. Do you know why? Because we live in the last times. We live in the last days. You know what those last days are? They are the days after Pentecost. After Pentecost. That is the last dispensation of the world. And you know it is not the darkest dispensation? The time of Noah, the world was populated with people. I do not know the numbers. And yet there was only one man one man that the Lord found righteous before him in the days of Noah. Oh, the world was not a fruitful field in that time. No, the Lord, he said, I will make the world a fruitful field in the last days. And I will send my spirit over this whole world. Indeed, it is going to decline. It is going to decline toward the end. Because when the Lord cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Indeed, it will have been the candlestick in one place and removed out of that place and brought to another place. But the Lord is going with his spirit from place to place. And he is working. And thus, we need not to be discouraged because of the time that we are living in, but we must be glad. Oh, how glad that we ought to be that we with our children have not been born in a former dispensation of the world. Remember that we are not Jewish, that we do not belong to that Hebrew people, but we are from among the Gentiles. Oh, is that not then a wonder what has happened on the day of Pentecost? When the Lord, he has established his church, every nation of the world. Oh, let us then be glad that we live in this day. Let us also take advantage of it. Take advantage of it, young people. Oh, that we would storm that throne of grace and that we would not let the Lord go. Except that he bless us. Because what does Peter say? He says the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is we ourselves that have no desire after thee. O thou dost proclaim thyself to be compassionate. Thou dost proclaim thyself to be merciful. Thou dost proclaim thyself to be gracious. Indeed, wide as the ocean, but we will have none of thee. Oh, we beseech thee, come, Lord. Come in the days in which we live with our children. And wilt thou take us for thine own account, give a place for thy word, and give conviction, true conviction of sin, and wilt thou reveal thyself in the life of those who are needy. Bring us safely home. Help each one in the week to come. Watch over in the building of the sanctuary, and wilt thou care for those who hope to be united in holy matrimony. Be thou also among us when we hope to gather round about thy word of truth. Forgive and take away all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 231, all the stanzas. Lord, thou hast favor shown thy land. Restored again thy captive band, thy people's sins thou pardoned hast, and all their guilt hast covered o'er. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of 231. Thank you. peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.